Okay, we're going to think a bit about what Good Friday is about, because so much happened that first Good Friday, and so many big, important things that help us understand what was going on. And there was a number of things that happened to Jesus, and things were used and items were used, which is why I've got on this cross behind me three different items that were part of what happened that first Good Friday. And they help us to think about what was going on, and they're like symbols that help us point and connect to what Jesus was doing for the whole world. And what we're going to do in a moment is I've asked Jane, she's going to come and read the passage for us, and I want you to listen and see if you can spot these items in the passage and think about how were they used and what does that help us to understand about what was going on. So Jane's going to kindly come forward with the mic and read from Mark chapter 15 a few verses and listen out for these items as she reads out this passage.
The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself."
Thank you, Jane. Now, I hope you spotted those items in that passage and what was going on, because what I want you to do now is actually to turn to the people next to you and chat about it. I'm only going to give you 30 seconds to chat about this morning, and I want you to pick one item that you heard in that passage and chat about how was it used and what does that help us think about what was going on that first Good Friday. So how was it used and how does that help us understand what's going on? So turn to the people next to you, just in twos or threes. Only one item, please. 30 seconds. Off you go. Okay, just 5 more seconds to finish those brief conversations and we'll come back together. Okay, hopefully I gave you enough time just to start scratching at the surface there. What I want to do is see what sort of thoughts we have going on. Matt's going to help me with a mic here. I'm going to go through them in order of just how I wanted to do them this morning, which is the purple robe first. Hands up if you were chatting about this one. Hopefully there were some people. Oh, good. It's always good when someone did chat about it. Okay, Matt, do you want to go find them? Keep your hands up. Someone say a bit about what was going on in the purple robe and what that was about. So we've got someone over here.
I just thought that the people were thinking that they could create a king and then take a kingdom away from him in their mocking way. But, of course, they were being completely confused and mistaken.
Wow, that's quite powerful. Anyone else just near you, Matt? Just someone closer? I don't know. We'll keep moving if that's okay, because time is part of our challenge. No, it's okay. So yeah, the purple robes in those days were really, really expensive material to make. So actually, only the rich and powerful would ever wear purple. And often it was only really the kings or queens, royalty, who wore them. But they placed it on Jesus to make fun of him, as we were just hearing there. They were pretending he was a king, making fun of him and mocking him. But actually, the funny thing is, they were closer to the truth than they realized. Because actually, Jesus is the King of Kings. And though they didn't understand it, he is the King who has power and has all the riches because he's God's Son. So that's our first one. I'll just pop that to one side, and we'll move on to, let's go for the crown of thorns. Hands up if you were chatting about the crown of thorns. Matt, if you want to find someone who can tell us a bit about this, please.
We were chatting about the crown of thorns, where they placed it on Jesus' head because they thought it would be funny if they thought that he should wear a crown, put a crown of thorns on his head.
That's it. Thank you, Esther. That's put really beautifully. They thought it would be funny. They were making fun of Jesus because they didn't have a gold crown with them to be able to put on Jesus. So they made one up on the spot, again, to pretend he was a king. But again, they were closer to the truth than they realized, because Jesus is the King of Kings. But also, they didn't understand that a king could choose to suffer and go through pain and be a king, which the crown helps us remind that Jesus chose to suffer and take that pain. So that's the crown of thorns as well. And the final one we've got up on here, hands up if you did the sign, the charge that they put on there. Just going to take this off carefully. And Matt, if you want to find someone who wants to tell us a bit about this one, hands up, who did this one? Oh, is there no hands? Did somebody?
Someone's been volunteered.
Okay. Thank you, because I was worried that this might happen and no one did it. Go for it.
So I thought about that and a remarkable statement that, you know, Jesus died with King of the Jews placed as a notice above his head, how true that was, but how, in a sense, they thought they were being just clever doing that.
Brilliant, thank you. You've just taken the words out of my mouth, which is great to have. Yes, again, a bit like the others, they were making fun of Jesus, but actually they were so close to the truth because Jesus is the King of all people and the King of the Jews. But also, actually, this one is the one where they got it really, really wrong at the same time. Because this was put to tell people why this person was on the cross, what crime they'd committed, what thing they'd done wrong, why they were a criminal and needed to die on a cross. And that's where they were completely wrong. Because Jesus never made any mistakes. He never broke any laws or rules or caused any offense. He was never a criminal or committed any crime. They got that completely wrong when they did this to Jesus. But at the same time, they were close as well, because Jesus took a punishment by dying on the cross. The cross was a place of punishment. But Jesus wasn't taking his own punishment. He wasn't taking it for his own crimes, because he lived a perfect life. He was taking the punishment for others. For others who've hurt people, who've hurt God, who've done things that don't fit with God's good plan for this world, which is actually all of us. None of us has lived a perfect life like Jesus did. None of us have never made a mistake. God calls us to follow him, and that we have not always followed his ways and lived it the best way. But Jesus took that punishment for us when he died on the cross. He took it when it wasn't his to take. And that's the amazing thing about Good Friday. That's all connected to the final symbol that we've got left when we take those three items away. The cross, which is a symbol we use to remember what happened to Jesus. A place where all these things are connected, because they're all connected to Jesus and what he's done for us. And this Good Friday, as we think about how awesome it is that Jesus took the punishment, that he showed God's love for us by what he did, that he offered forgiveness by taking away all those sins that come between us and God, and how he opened the door of hope so if we believe and trust, we can receive that forgiveness and come back to God. All those are connected through what happened that Good Friday in Jesus. But I wonder how these items or the other events we're going to explore the rest of this morning might help you connect deeper with how amazing that good news is of what Jesus did that first Good Friday. Part of how we're going to do that is we're going to carry this cross into town and gather with other churches as well. And that's going to help us to connect as well.
We can't go. I've lost my pen. I lent it to you, my pen, you know?
This one?
My favourite pen! No!
It was an accident. Yeah.
What happened?
I was walking along Lyde Road, and where they're doing the roadworks, the manhole wasn't quite back where it should be, and I just went to help.
Kev, that doesn't sound like an accident.
Mistakes were made.
Kev, you know, what you can do is you can just say sorry and I'll forgive you.
Is that all I need to do?
Yeah, but some people do say that sorry is the hardest word.
Not for Captain Kev. This will be easy. Mistakes were made.
Kev, that's not saying sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Oh. Ah. It's a bit harder than I thought.
Okay. Let me help you out, Kev. Say, I'm sore.
Sore.
Re. I'm sorry.
I'm sausages. Yeah.
Oh. Kev, try again. I'm sorry. That's all you need to say.
I'm sausages. I'm deeply, deeply sausages. I'm sorry.
Kev, you did it. And of course, I forgive you.
So does that mean I've forgiven? That's all I need to do.
That's right. In the Bible, it says that all of us can be forgiven. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all." So all of us can be forgiven. All we have to do is say that we're sorry.
That's brilliant. That's great. That sounds so good. So does that mean that you have to keep forgiving me as well?
Yeah, I'll forgive you for anything.
Why? There's just a few other things. I'm sausages.
Oh, Kev. Right. It is hard to say sorry, isn't it? Sometimes it can be the hardest word. We don't like other people to know that we haven't done what we should. And we find it hard to even admit to ourselves that we've done the wrong thing. But wonderfully, if we do say that we're sorry, because of the cross, we are forgiven. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to have a little time of prayer, and it's our chance to say sorry to God. So this Good Friday, you might want to think, well, here's all the things that Captain Kev has broken that I lent him. But you might want to think, well, what things have you done? Maybe which of God's laws have you broken? In what ways have you not lived God's way? What do you need to say sorry to God for? Maybe have a think what that would be for you. What would be in your box that you need to say sorry for? And there's going to be a prayer coming up on the screen that we can all say together to say sorry to God. So just have a moment of silence as we think, and then we'll pray together. Let's join in together with these words on the screen. Father God, we are sorry for the things we do and say and think, which make you sad, and for not thinking of others before ourselves. Please forgive us and help us to love you and other people more and more. Amen. And it is amazing that when we say sorry to God, he forgives us because of Jesus dying on the cross in our place. Do you remember that verse from Isaiah 53? We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. It's a little bit like our sin cuts us off from God. We can't come to God because of our sin. We can't come to God. So what are we going to do? Well, wonderfully, on the cross, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. What does that mean? It means that God took our sin and put it on Jesus. That's why he died on the cross, because he was dying for our sins. That's why he cried out, as we'll read later, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was bearing our sins in our place so that we can be forgiven. So that, as Kev said, so that the way could be open to God, so that we could know God.